Tuesday, December 23rd. The first reading from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 and 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord God, Lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by. Lo, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord comes, the great and terrible day, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with doom. Haydock Commentary. I am sending my messenger or angel, namely John the Baptist, the messenger of God and forerunner of Christ. His purity and office procure him this title. Afterwards Christ himself shall come, for the ruin and for the resurrection of many. See Luke 2:34. Hence threats and promises are intermixed. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek. The ancient Jews were convinced that the Messiah would come to the temple of Zerubbabel and be its chief glory. Some take this temple to be the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So say Saints Cyril and Augustine. This coming may be explained of John the Baptist or of the second coming of Christ. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord as in the days of old, as in years gone by. So in the Mass we beg that God would receive the sacrifice as he received the presence of Abel, etc. The Gospel from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 66. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father, but his mother said in reply, No, he will be called John. But they answered her, There is no one among your relatives who has this name. So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, John is his name. And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. St. Luke adds the account of Elizabeth's bringing forth to that of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin as an effect to a cause. For the Blessed Virgin, by her prayers and merits, obtained for John both his nativity and his sanctification. For this purpose she had come from Nazareth and had remained with her for 3 months. John the Baptist was born on June 24th, for it is then that the Church keeps the yearly celebration of his birth, observing it in his case alone, as it does also in the case of Christ. For as regards the rest of the saints, the Church celebrates not the day of their birth, but that of their death, on which they passed from a life of misery to one of blessedness. And her neighbors rejoiced with her. Thus was fulfilled the promise of the angel in chapter 5, verse 14, Many shall rejoice at his birth. St. Ambrose says, The bringing forth of the saints causes the rejoicing of many, for it is a common blessing. For justice is a public virtue. For the just by their example benefit all. Notice here that the Jews were not always circumcised in the synagogue. For that John was circumcised at home is inferred from the following verse, in which it is clearly implied that his mother was present, who could not at that time, according to the law, leave the house. See Leviticus 12:4. Elizabeth, being filled with the Holy Ghost, had learned the mystery of the incarnation of the Word, and learned also the name of her son, not from Zechariah, but from the Holy Spirit, and all the other things that happened to Zechariah in the temple when he was burning incense. For, as St. Ambrose says, she could not be ignorant of the forerunner of the Lord, who had prophesied of Christ. It is an earthly custom to take the name of a child from someone else in the family, but John was a citizen of heaven, not of the earth, whence he received from heaven a celestial name. St. Ambrose remarks that Zechariah says, "His name is, not his name will be, John," so that the meaning is, "We do not give a name to him who has received one from God. He has his own name, which we acknowledge, but which we did not choose." Names were frequently given from some event, either present or future. Thus, Isaac received his name from the laughter of his mother, Cain because he was the possession of his mother Eve, Moses because he was drawn out of the water, etc. So also John received his name from the grace and mercy which he received, not in his conception, but when he was visited by the Blessed Virgin. St. Ambrose says, "Rightly from that moment Zechariah's tongue was loosed, for that which unbelief had bound, faith set free. When he saw John really born, he believed the promise made to him by the angel concerning him. John, therefore, as he had filled his mother when in her womb with the Holy Spirit, so now when born, breathed the same Spirit upon his father." Whence St. Gregory Nazianzen says, "The birth of John broke the silence of Zechariah, for it were unreasonable, when the voice of the word had come forth, that the father should remain speechless." Theophylactus says, "All these things were done economically, that John might be esteemed a witness of Christ worthy of credit." And Venerable Bede says, "The future prophet is commended by previous auspices." A religious fear and reverence towards God came upon all, because he had done so many wonderful works concerning John, both as to his father and mother. For where God displays his power, there arises on the part of men towards him and his majesty a sacred feeling of fear and reverence. God did all these things in order that by means of these signs he might stir up the minds of all men to the veneration of John as the future forerunner and discloser of Christ, and in order that he might procure authority for him, and that so his testimony concerning Christ might outweigh every objection. Christ revealed to St. Bridget that there were three saints who had pleased him above all others, namely the Blessed Virgin, Mary Magdalene, and John the Baptist, and that the demons, being struck with terror at his birth, bewailed and lamented, when the angels and pious Israelites rejoiced. St. Ambrose, Origen, and Euthymius say that John himself felt that the hand of God was upon him, since he felt every day that by the operation of God he grew and advanced in the use of reason, in holy inspirations and desires, in the love and worship of Christ, in grace and in merits beyond what was natural to his years.